Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. My voice is going.
Oh,
that's,
no.
That's what happened there. I'm going to be honest with the audience. Got your voiceless host, James, here with you, everybody. Our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Head of production, co-host, Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners of radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate the company. Let's kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Talk a little Mother Nature. How you doing, Britt?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right?
Mm-hmm.
Doing all right.
I'm enjoying the breeze coming through my windows right
Ooh,
now.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it nice to be on the other side of that front? Oh, my gosh. It's finally out
Heck
of
yeah.
the state
Woo.
For now. yeah, we've got this low-pressure system that wants to move on in, and it's, of course, bringing the rain. I hate to dampen the, you know, day and the mood with all this forecast, but it's going to get soggy out there.
Well done. I'm just laughing.
Oh, goodness.
Well done. Very well done, Brittany. So how is it looking for today?
So we got the rain. This is what I think is going to happen because the system is all over the place. Widespread rain probably by the afternoon, early afternoon. Then by early evening, late afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock or so, I think that it's going to become a little bit more moderate to heavy. Chances for embedded thunderstorms in that rain. And then we could get another round maybe late tonight, around 10 to 11 or so, kind of in a line. And that one could pack some heavy rain and, of course, some gusty winds. So the biggest concern, of course, is the fact that the rain rates could be heavy at times. We could see some localized flash flooding. We can also see rivers flooding, too. Mm. The Wisconsin River is getting a little high up there, and with another 1 to 2 inches likely, some places could get around 3-4 inches if Ooh. We get underneath a storm after storm. Yeah, over the next 48 hours, it is going to be soggy. So if you're in a floodplain, if you're in areas around rivers that usually flood or streams like that, now's your time to prepare because it's going to be a wet one. Otherwise, I mean, no severe weather. Otherwise, just some gusty winds.
All right.
Mm. Can handle that. We can take that. We got it.
We get out, our water wings. Yeah.
Did you guys see those videos of the Mississippi River in La Crosse flooding the streets there?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I hadn't seen that. Wow.
Yeah, I have to.
It's crazy over there. The Mississippi River is high.
I have to admit to you guys, I'm getting our forecasts even over the last couple of weeks and everything. No matter how they sounded, I keep thinking of things like what Melissa's talking about. Like, okay, well, it's not that bad. You know,
right.
But we can handle it. We're all right.
Right.
You know? it's a lot
good
worse
idea
in some places.
Check your basements, get things up off the ground if you need to, because it might get a little soggy.
Yeah, just a real quick PSA, everybody. Look, my dad may reach out to you, help you with that. Don't let him. Please. My father figures out the weirdest ways to get things off
things,
of the ground.
Right?
To stack
yeah.
things and get things off the ground.
He nice.
He's got like all this wood that he wants to do stuff with, so he's just build up. Just go build it, Jimmy. Put this
but
right
you know
here.
What? I think he's got the right idea, personally. But, you would know.
It does work. It does work. I'll give him that.
It's, all right.
It's just
right.
it's very
it's just
very,
weird. Yeah.
It's very weird. It's very, very, very Frankenstein with wood. It's very. Brittany, thanks for putting up with me. We appreciate you. Have a good morning.
Of course, you too.
Best in the business right there, Brittany Merlot. We got good stuff on the way for you, everybody. We're going to get into some fun topics today. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. Have a study that found working 50-plus work weeks breaks the brain.
Breaks the brain?
Yep. Working 50-plus hours a week. That
can
break
attest.
The brain.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say that all three of us can pretty much line up on that one. A study, we're also going to get into online returns. How's that been working out for businesses?
Okay.
And color psychology. We're going to get into a little color psychology
Oh,
today.
Okay. Interesting.
In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll kick things off with some entertainment news. We have somebody declining their invitation to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Got a reboot of a TV show I believe you guys like. I'm not sure. I thought, I'm almost positive one of you guys liked
Oh, okay.
it. I thought
right.
you did at least. We'll get into that in a little bit. And what do the contestants on America's Got Talent go through? Touch on that a
Ooh,
little bit.
Interesting.
That'll come up along with a couple of other good ones, like like summer on a budget. What's the cheapest hobby you can get into this summer? Have that nice. For you in the 10 o'clock as well. Get into our schedule. Some good stories of the day and some great things going on in our communities that we will touch on as well. But I, as you know, longtime listeners, and you two have had put up with quite a bit, I love looking into the origins of things. Right. It's one of my favorite like rabbit holes to go down of where phrases come from, where idioms are born, all of these things. And I came across this topic this morning. I did not pre-read it. I wanted to get into it with you guys. Someone on social media asked non-Americans, what is your one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi? And what an interesting thought.
Wow, it is.
So early on in the early days of this show, Carl and I thought that it'd be fun to kind of start our shows with saying good morning in every different language we could think, you know, come across and everything. And we had a lot of fun doing that for like, I think a year. We kind of leaned into that when we'd start off our shows. Guten Tag, you know, that kind of thing. And it kind of like branched off into other topics. But I never even thought about something like this. I love coming across these things. Mm-hmm. One, I hope that others out there also find the commonality here and how much we have so much more in common than not. Whether we're talking about somebody that is that lives in the city next to us or somebody that lives across the pond, in any country, in any place, people are people. We all bleed the same. We all have the same concerns and worries and all of these things. And I love finding things that bring us together and show that, along with things that are just very wild and completely opposite of what we do.
Always cool. Always fun.
It's the fun of human beings.
That's
it's
right.
It's the fun of, you know, I think the beauty of the humanity and all that. So looking at this, what do other countries do for, you know, when they got to sack the quarterback, Seth? You know, when they got to think, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Yeah. In Danish, we have, and this is from people from these countries, by the way. So in Danish, we have one case of beer, two cases of beer.
Nice. That's a good one.
And this is something even little kids do when they're playing hide-and-seek and stuff.
I can't believe we don't have that in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Except we should start that. We should start a trend.
In Scotland, we have one elephant, two elephant.
Okay. All right.
There are no elephants in Scotland.
Yeah,
just putting that out there.
I feel pretty confident that, yeah, that you're...
I mean,
you're,
naturally, like...
Right, yes.
Right.
I'm sure they have zoos,
indigenous,
but yeah.
Too.
That's something I've been thinking more and more about, because I've been thinking more about, you know, I've never been out of the country, and I want to do that before it's all said and done and everything. I've been thinking about, like, what museums and libraries and zoos are like in other countries. I feel like I'm going to get out of the country, and wherever I go, I'm going to waste my time. Like, I'm not going to see any of the tourist stuff. I'm going to all the things that, like, locals do.
What do they serve at McDonald's here? That's what I want to know.
Right. You know, that's a fair question.
Yeah.
It's different in every country.
It is.
Royale with cheese. In Quebec, we did one hippopotamus, two hippopotamus.
Okay, that's good.
That's the one that the other one that I have.
I've heard that one too. Yes. Mm-hmm. You need a word with a lot of syllables is what I'm seeing here. So, or a phrase.
They say that's specific for Quebec. In most of Canada, it's one steamboat, two steamboat.
Oh, really?
Steamboat. Hmm.
Well, that's cool.
Steamboat.
So we have more in common with the Quebecers? Mm. Wow.
They're not all the same syllables, though, here, guys.
They're not.
Counting the same.
Yeah. You're right. We're not.
Yes, good point.
Could cause some issues with hide and seek, international hide and seek, yeah.
In China, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you usually stop when you're doing it at 10, at 10 and repeat. So you do it 10 times and then you repeat it 10 more times.
Oh, boy.
That kind of makes sense.
I see what it is.
It does in some ways, but then you also have to keep track of where you're at.
Right, yeah.
See, I would be tempted, because of music, I would be tempted to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 4, because then
I would keep
track of where I am in the 10.
In Iran, we have a 1 and a 2 and a 3 and
also
a...
Also another music thing.
What? They're big fans of Lawrence Welk in Iran. And the one, then the two, and the...
In India, we say tick, tick, one, tick, tick, two.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Sounds kind of dangerous.
What's
ticking? Why do I hear ticking?
In Australia, we'd say one cat and dog, two cat and dog. But another Australian said they've never heard that one in their life. So
it might be a regional thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Australia's real big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
True.
In Mexico, we'd say uno, brief pause, dos, brief pause, tres, brief pause.
Now that one, chicanery can come up. How is the pause? Yeah, exactly. You kind of fudge that one a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And someone joked someone grew up in Mississippi said, as a child, I assumed other people used whatever state they were in.
Oh, because of Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple of people from Mississippi said this. So they just assumed that, like in Wisconsin, you did one Wisconsin, two Wisconsin, three Wisconsin, really? Like that kind of thing.
Oh, but you need like the syllables on that one. So you could do Minnesota would work because I think it says one Minnesota, two Minnesota.
You know what wouldn't
Mississippi,
work?
Mississippi, same thing. What? Utah?
No. Utah would be tough. I was going to say Ohio, but actually Ohio would work.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's got a couple of more syllables than you think.
Vermont.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Vermont.
Vermont, I feel Vermont. Like. One Vermont, two Vermont. Okay. Like, it just feels like
one
it's
New
very
Hampshire,
awkward.
Two New... Oh, that would work.
New Hampshire would work. Steamboat.
Yeah, yeah. I love this. I love the idea of people in Mississippi just, like, not... They didn't take this egotistically, kind of, you know, or anything like that. Right.
I don't know. And you know, back to the Canada thing, they've got such great province names that they could use. One Manitoba, two Manitoba. Why don't they do that?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm telling you.
That's a good one.
What are they doing in Canada, huh?
I like that.
What are they doing there?
I like that. There was one other part here. Someone from South Africa said it was over there, it's one Mississippi, two Mississippi, but they didn't know what Mississippi was. They didn't know why they were doing
it. It's a gibberish word. They just said, someone just made up a word, yeah.
But how amazing is it that they
that's
would,
cool.
you know, that would mm-hmm. be a thing over there.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome.
So I'm trying to find the origin of one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Oh, okay. That might be a tough one.
I had it pulled up here, and I didn't pre-read it because I wanted to read it with you guys, and now I lost.
Now you got
to
go through the...
I'll find that out.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to find... I want to look into it before I just, you know, read whatever Googlers are saying here or anything.
Yeah, that could be dangerous.
So it can be. Yeah, really.
These days.
We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and do some celebrating with our friends from El Cafe right here on the morning show. At WFHR.
I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life.
You heard the boys. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to celebrate. Get on over there today at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us. Got some great specials going on over there. Check them out.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage you to get us to your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Love celebrating with you. You can email us info@WFHR.com. Go ahead and get us up that way. And you can direct message us on our Facebook pages. We'd love to hear from you from there. Mm-hmm. And call on up.
That's right. 715-424-2600 is the number.
Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Feel free to use that. And you feel free to reach out to us anytime throughout the whole show. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, mm-hmm. indeed.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
This is Mel's last show with us for the week. So, Melissa, I'm going to make you do a number here. 1 through 3.
1.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. Uno. We get right into it here.
Dos.
1 hippopotamus.
Great.
Nice. Nicely done. First up, want to wish a happy birthday to Civic Media's own William Twining.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Will.
William? Will? Bill? What does he go by? I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah. You can hear from him at WRCO at Richland Center. He's their sports commentator, one of their sports commentators.
Very nice.
Does a really good job. It's
happy
a great
birthday.
Voice.
Yes.
Great voice. Happy birthday to you, William. And a happy birthday to Caitlin Shuda.
Happy birthday, Caitlin.
Happy birthday.
Caitlin is probably a familiar name to many of our listeners out there. She has done reporting for the Daily Tribune for a very long time around here, and during the pandemic was a great partner. We're sharing news with her, Channel 9, and us over here at WFHR. We're able to really share information and double-check sources and things. For me here, it was just basically Pam, Chuck, and I.
Right.
And getting that information was vital, and being able able to back up information at a really quick time was vital to our listeners.
Right.
She was really helpful in that. And somebody who really does believe in this area and really wants to support and promote this area. In a day and age where it's so much about, it's got to be my name and breaking the story and a lot of that.
Yeah.
We shared a lot of stories and a lot of information. And I really appreciate that about her. Good writer, too. Have a great day, Caitlin. Enjoy your day. We also wish a happy birthday to Jack Billings.
Happy birthday, Jack.
Happy birthday.
That's a great name right there. That's
like a baseball player.
It really is. Yeah. Enjoy your day, sir.
Pitcher.
Yes. And our qualifier today, Diane Spranger.
Happy birthday, Diane.
Happy birthday, Diane.
Enjoy the day, Diane. We wish you a great one. Hope it's a good day for you and yours. Enjoy.
Yes, indeed.
And we encourage you to brag to all your friends, family, strangers, animals, that you are our qualifier today.
Yes.
We take a look at who you share your birthday with. One of the bigger names in music right now, Benson Boone, is 23.
Yeah.
He can perform. Man, I didn't know much about him at all until seeing him on Saturday Night Live, which is how I find out about any new artist.
Right, exactly.
It's the only way I do. If they're not on SNL, I never see them.
Who knows who they are?
I don't know who they are or anything. I'll be honest, for every artist, and I'm kind of like, okay, this is not for me. This is not. There are people like him that show up there, and even if I don't listen to their music, I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
This is an impressive performer here. And he is. So he did a backflip. I was watching because Quincina Brunson was hosting. That's one of my people. And she's standing there, and she's a little thing. And he does a backflip right behind her and just like with two steps is on the stage and singing his tail off. And I've watched every SNL episode and I've never seen an artist do that before.
Wow.
He is a great showman and really good voice.
And the kids seem to like him.
Yeah. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. He seems to have especially, I didn't know he was only 23. He doesn't look old, but he looks a little old, like
more mature than that.
Yeah. It's that mustache. It's the mustache everybody's doing nowadays. Can we get past that now?
No.
Like
mustache is here to stay.
It ain't going nowhere. This has been a thing for a while now, and thanks a lot, Tom Cruise. How come everybody goes to Top Gun with the mustache thing, but Tom Cruise didn't have a mustache in Top Gun?
I don't know.
Yeah, but didn't Goose?
Oh, yeah, like everybody else did. Tom Cruise with a mustache. I wonder how that
looks. Has he ever done facial hair?
I don't think he does.
Can he grow facial hair?
I don't think he can.
I don't know if he can.
I think if he could, we would have seen. He played that samurai movie and he had a beard.
That's true. But was it fake? We don't know if it was a real beard.
It definitely was fake. Yep. I'm almost positive it was fake. Busy Phillips is 46. Actor. She was Audrey on Dawson's Creek. And I Feel Pretty. She was on that show as well.
Yeah, she's a busy. Oh, what
sorry,
a name!
Different show.
Busy Phillips.
Linda Cardellini is 50. Hawkeye's wife in the Avengers movies. She was Velma in Scooby Doo. She was on Mad Men. Had a really good role on there, and she was on ER as well.
Yes, very good actor.
And a sneaky good show. I'm thinking of Dead Like Me, but this was Dead to Me. She was on Dead Like Me. Was a sneaky good show.
That was a really good show.
Oh, you saw that one? I love that show.
I didn't see all of it, but I definitely the first season I really liked.
Yeah, it didn't wrap up the greatest, but no. I started watching it because of Manny Patinkin being on it, and I was really impressed with that show. Great concept of like Grim Reapers, and it's like a 9-to-5 job. It's great concept. Jeff Cohn is 51. Chuck on Chunk in The Goonies.
Ooh, oh yes,
Chunk. Jeff is an entertainment lawyer now and is the attorney for his Oscar-winning Goonies co-star, Ki-Yong Kwan.
Yes. Yeah, I remember hearing about that he left the business and became an attorney.
He also, like, anytime anybody asks him to do the Chuckle Shuffle or anything like this, he's always plays along. Like
that's nice.
He seems like he's really cool about that stuff.
That's cool.
Angela Kinsley is 54, Dwight's tightly wound lady Angela on The Office and podcaster now. One of the funnier laughs I've ever heard, Ricky Gervais is 64. boy, you either like or you don't like him. I'll say that. I feel like he's pretty, you know, black and white about that. But he's got a great laugh.
He does.
Really is a really good laugh. And people seem to love him. Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, yes. Dynamite!
Oh, jeez.
Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Oh, yes. Good times, baby. Oh, that was my show. Loved it. Carly Simon is 82.
Oh, wow.
You're So Vain and so many other good songs.
Yeah, fantastic writer and singer.
Yes. Yeah, I want to say Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't know if she's in it. She should be if she's not.
So for many, many years, people, it was a debate. It was a question, who was You're So Vain about and everything.
Yes.
And for charity, she told somebody, but they said that they couldn't tell anyone.
Yep.
And then like a month or a year or whatever it was later, like I don't know if she said it in an interview, but it just became common knowledge basically that it's about Warren Beatty. That they always assumed it was about him, but yep. Nobody, then the rumors went all over the place, and then it just became common knowledge that it's about Warren Beatty. I'm not 100% on that.
No, I don't think that's been proved.
Unless I actually hear it from her, I don't know that I believe that that's just other.
I'm holding out for Mick Jagger because he sings on that song. I hope it's about him because I think it would be awesome that he was singing on it.
I got to say, too, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little similar to the Jolene thing where it's somebody none of us know.
It could be,
it's too. Not somebody famous mm-hmm. or anything
or like the other famous You Ought to Know from Alanis mm-hmm. Morissette. She still hasn't revealed who that's about as well.
Yeah,
so.
A lot of people believe it's Dave Coulier. And he's actually taken a lot of heat for that, but I don't know.
They were both young in a relationship. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I never like when people do the whole team this, team that stuff in relationships. Like, you don't know, man. You don't know what's going on in those relationships. Stay out of it. I mean, you might want to stay out of relationships of people you even know.
I don't know. Not a bad idea.
And some people no longer with us. George Michael, born on this day in 1963. I mean, so many hits with Wham and a solo career, mm-hmm. and then going away and completely reinventing himself, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just does not happen very often in music, especially. No. I'm a teen bop star, and I want to do serious stuff now, and it never works well. But every once in a while, you have the Beatles going from I Want to Hold Your Hand to Sgt. Pepper, or Dylan going from acoustic to electric, mm-hmm. or George Michael going from a kind of a poppy band to wanting to be taken more seriously as an artist, and Freedom and so many of those songs, and it worked. He did it.
He had the talent. There's no question he was an extremely talented musician, songwriter. I mean, yes, fantastic.
Father figure. That song, man. That song still. That's a song right there. He's got so many good ones. Mm-hmm. Anthony Bourdain, born on this day in 1956.
Way too soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite people.
A very very troubled person throughout his life, and that's too bad. Yeah.
I hope he is an example of that. You know, we need to lean on each other more, be there for each other more, and doing our National Day of Calendar, they have a National Day of Bourdain Day is today.
Oh,
and you are encouraged to get out, travel, experience the world, try different foods, live life to its fullest.
Right.
It is a carpe diem life that Anthony lived. And one of the, his TV shows, you may have known this if you saw, watched them and everything, a very curious mind. And while he came across very rough in a lot of those things, nobody that ever worked with him would not say anything negative about him. They loved working with him, loved this guy. And I think one of the cool things about Anthony Bourdain, incredible interviewer, really good listener, really good interviewer. I've studied his work, and I really admire and have picked up things from him as an interviewer, and I never heard anybody give him credit for that. But he was really, really good at it because he was a really good listener, because he loved people. As rough as he came across and all of those things, don't get it twisted. That guy liked people. Mm-hmm. He liked life.
Yep.
I know how it ended for him. I know the depression and the things he dealt with. I watched him too much. I watched everything he did. I read all of his books. That's a guy who loved life. That's a guy who liked people.
He certainly liked people.
Yes. He may have not even realized it, but he did. Today, Bourdain Day, I get out there and live. And take in an episode of No Reservations or something. George Orwell, also born in this day, 1903. Author who coined Big Brother and the 1984. And one of the bigger authors of his time.
Mm-hmm. Animal Farm.
Animal Farm is the one that I think
Down and Out in London and Paris. That's a good one.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that. Nice.
There's several of his books I really need to read. I want to read Animal Farm.
Very good writer.
I never have. Or maybe I did in high school, but I don't, that was high school.
That's the unfortunate.
It was different back then, yes.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing, I think, with a lot of high school books. Like, I remember liking The Outsiders. I remember, that was one of the books we had to read that I actually liked. And I don't remember much at all about it.
Gotta go back.
And I even liked that one.
Yeah.
I liked Grapes of Wrath, and I don't remember much about it.
There you go.
I think Animal Farm is, I hate to say must reads. I don't like doing that. But I do think it's an important read.
Important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of like To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
That one I do remember. remember because I had to do it three times.
One of my favorite books of all time. That'll always be in my top five.
Switching schools, you know.
Yeah, yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, hear you about. Mm-hmm. We will take a time out. We'll come back and we're going to talk a little bit about this study that found what it found with when you work 50 plus hours a week.
Oh,
coming up on
cautionary tale.
Yeah, the three of us immediately our ears perked up like, oh,
what not to do.
Coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Should have dragged out the R longer.
Yeah, that's R.
I should
have. Talking like a pirate.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope your Wednesday morning is treating you good. Happy hump day out there.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you are not working. You haven't hit your quota for hours yet or anything.
Oh, gosh.
Early
by Wednesday?
For that.
Hope not.
I would hope not.
Yikes.
A new study found working too many hours a week literally changes the structure of your brain. Researchers scanned the brains of 110 healthcare workers and split them into two categories, overworked and not overworked. They defined overworked as 52 hours a week or more. They found that working that much more can cause, quote, significant changes in parts of the brain associated with executive function and emotional regulation. It can mess with your decision-making skills because you get emotional or fly off the handle a lot. Oh. Also can affect your memory and attention span. They didn't look at the long... Squirrel. they didn't look at the long-term effects, but they suspect that being overworked for years on end isn't great for your mental health, especially if you work through weekends and never take a vacation. You can find the complete article at Fox News if you'd like. You know, I don't know that any of this. This is a little bit of a kind of we kind of get this and everything. I did a little bit of digging on this one, okay. not a ton. So keep that in mind. Take it with a grain of salt. But the idea of the 40-hour work week is man-made.
It is
not something that has been handed down to us from our ancient ancestors or something like
it's
that.
It's not a natural thing, right? Natural occurring thing. No,
this is something that a bunch of corporate business people came up with.
Right.
Okay, go ahead. Continue.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that we limited it to 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. As
people saying, no, don't work us to death.
Right. But again,
That was the limits that was agreed upon by those corporate business people. Correct. And the people pushing back against the 40, 50, 60, 80 hour weeks.
Right. Yeah.
Keep going.
No, I knew you'd say it better. I knew you could say it faster and better than I could. So I just wanted to get out of your way. when it comes to us doing this, we have the power and the ability to adapt to modern times with these things. And the positive of the idea of having a cap, if you will,
on a
worker is the idea as well of possibly maybe even bringing in more workers, more people to have jobs in some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, we know this. We don't need science to tell us this one necessarily. We need science to tell this to the powers that be.
Right.
Yes.
Because anybody that does this on a weekly basis, and I'm guessing a lot of people are raising their hand right now. Mm-hmm. I know almost everybody in this building is. they don't need a study to tell you this. We already know this. We feel the effects of this all the time.
It's nice to have the backup.
We're a case study.
Right.
For why you shouldn't do this.
and maybe even a better people to ask are the people that are around us, outside of our industries, outside of our jobs, the people that we work with or we live with. I'm not work with, but the people we live with, our significant others, our family, our friends, that deal with these quick emotional changes or some of these things that we are working with.
Or the exhaustion and the inability to join in on the fun things in life because we're just too flippin' tired.
The quality of life goes down because of that. Yep.
I don't think there's any epiphanies happening here with this, but I do think this is something that corporate and the powers that be really need to hear and listen to, because if you are good at your job, then you are good at managing employees as well as having making a profit. You can do both. Mm-hmm. There are a million industries out there right now doing that very thing.
That's right.
You do not have to crush your employees to make a profit. And if you feel like you do, you are bad at business and don't belong in the game. Find something else to do or work by yourself. And I will say this about the way that things, just looking at America and just looking at our system and the way things are. I do believe that more and more going forward, that stuff's going to weed itself out. That the bad businessmen, the people that cannot run a business and a franchise, are not going to stay in the industries very long. In part because I believe that everything starts from the top. So if you are that kind of management, if you do run your company that way, I don't believe your company will survive. I don't care if you're Nike. I don't think it will last. I think these things have a shelf life. Employees revolt. Employees push back.
Well, if they can, here in America, we can. I know Nike. Has
that's why I said America. I was specifically talking about America.
Okay.
I said America right out the gate, and that's what I'm specifically talking about because I don't know enough about other countries and the way they run things. And especially if you're going to talk about other countries, this is going to be a 20-hour conversation. Every country does things differently. We could spend 20 hours talking about China, but just looking at the states here and the way that our industry was run and business is from a rural level to a city level, I don't know that that has a shelf. That has a shelf life. I don't know that that survives very long. Yeah, there's plenty of businesses that you can counter me with. I'm not saying that this is perfect or anything, but I don't think that many you just by the way that looking at the history of business and all that in America, you don't survive if you don't treat your employees well. You may make a profit. You may be around for a little while. You may even be around for a decade or two, but you ain't going to be around that long. Look at the industries. Look at Levi. Look at some of the companies that have been around almost since the beginning of America. Most of these companies have pretty good, employee relationships and everything, and they don't work their employees to death. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, just some of them do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's really important for us to have these conversations, because the more conversations we have around employee rights, ideas to make work-life balance better, all of those conversations help to move the needle in that direction, because we, the people, do have the power for now, and we should continue to use our voices to advocate for ourselves and how we want to live our lives.
I don't take anything lightly, but I don't believe that that's ever going to change, Melissa. I don't care who's in power.
I'm glad you believe that.
I don't care. I'm too much of a kid of history. And while there are things going on right now that we've never seen before, there's also stuff that this country's been through worse. This country's experienced more. And I don't believe that anything can kill democracy. I don't think it's possible. We will never be run by a king. We will never have a dictator. I don't believe that's possible in this country. I genuinely don't. I don't care who is in office. I don't care what is happening. I have a realistic brain. I have a reptilian realistic brain that drives me insane, that doesn't see enough positives in life often enough, and looks at things way too cynical oftentimes in life. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that there's anything more powerful than the human spirit, and especially when it comes to this country and the way we take that democracy and we take freedom.
Keeping the faith.
It could be the last naive bone I have in my body, and I'll own that. Now, you can throw this back in my face and stuff if I'm wrong.
Well, take it. Just take it and run with it.
But when it comes to the work week, and this going back to one of our older conversations the three of us have had, I think that it comes, the four-day work week pops in my head.
Yeah.
And ways to limit this and keeping people from hitting 50 hours a week.
Right.
And as much as I want to point the finger at ownership and businesses and management and a lot of that, we got to take a little of this medicine too. And by that, I mean me.
Some of us are our own worst enemies.
Yes. I just speaking for myself completely.
I'm gonna say one thing here because this has been acculturated, I guess is the correct word for it. If you remember, it's one of those things where it's like you're not working if you're not working overtime, right? You're not working. This is a cultural thing that's been going. It's been off and on for like 20, 30 years, mm-hmm. maybe. Because I remember hearing about this in the 90s, where people are working all these hours and they're proud of it. You're like, I'm working so much. I'm working 50, 60 hours a week. I don't have to, but I'm going to do it kind of thing. It was like a badge of honor where used to be, it's like your leisure time was the important thing, right? It's like, yeah, we're taking the kids to whatever. No, I'm working. That's the important thing. I just keep working. So to be fair to you guys and to anyone else, you know, who feels like, wow, man, I'm working so many hours, that's kind of the culture we grew up in. And now we're starting to see a little bit of a shift on that, which I think is a good thing.
I agree.
We do think that it's also something, the more, like Melissa was touching on, you know, the more we talk about these things, hopefully the more we normalize and we bring attention to it and some of that. I would love to have this conversation a year from now and see if anything's changed.
That would be interesting.
Anything's any different.
Yeah.
And a year from then, and a year from then. We'll see how that goes.
Put a Google Calendar thing in here.
I do think that the study involving healthcare workers really stands out to me. And it does, you know, all industries have people doing things like this, but we do send a special shout out to our healthcare industry and so many of the people in that.
That's a particularly stressful and hard job to do. So
it is, yeah. And it's become worse so after the
pandemic. Oh my gosh, yes. For so many reasons, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing it also doesn't help things that a lot of us work 50-hour work weeks and have to go to these people, the healthcare workers, yeah. to be able to...
I've worn myself out. Now you have to help me.
Yeah. I can relate.
Same, bro. Same.
Yeah, they just sit down right next to you. I can tell me about it. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday out there. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We're going to kick off the 10 o'clock hour with some entertainment news, get into our schedule, talk about some good things going on in our area. Mm. We also got to get into this one, Summer on a Budget. What's the cheapest hobby you can get this summer?
I'm ready. I'm excited. I want to know what this is.
Picking up sticks.
I was going to say weeding.
Yes, yes. Got a couple options for you.
Selling your plasma.
No. There we go. Well, we can...
That's a weird hobby. Can only do this once every 3 months.
I know. Let me do it more. I don't know why.
We will get into all of those a little bit later. Right now, how would you like to feel a little less anxious? Boy,
I think we can all agree on that one.
Let's do that.
Yeah, sounds really good. Color psychology is the study of how different colors can affect your mood and behavior.
Wow.
Now, this is something that, again, I have gone down a rabbit hole. I went down years ago, and thank you to the pandemic for this. I started to look into this more and more, and in part because I, like a lot of people, were struggling with isolation and just my mood and a lot of that. And, well, I love the color orange. So, you know, does that have any effect on me? Should I be wearing more color orange? I noticed I didn't have any shirts that were orange or anything like that. And so I started looking into it more and more. Okay. And I found that different people for different things, but this can tie into, like a lot of things with the brain, connecting to other stuff. Mm-hmm. And for me, with being OCD and needing things in certain orders and a lot of this, I found that when I wore multiple grays or multiple, you know, lots of blues or something, my mood was just a lot different. Mm-hmm. And with this job and needing to be in a good mood no matter when these mics go on, I found that the two really helped each other. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to see me for the rest of my life dressing like a fool. I don't have any style, and I have no real way of any fashion sense whatsoever. But you're going to see me usually in patterns. You know,
okay.
I'm black and white today.
Yeah.
Yesterday I think it was in mostly blues.
Okay. There you go.
Now, again, I'm a guy, so I can't match for anything.
Wow.
But
how do you do better than you think?
I look at this and I do this, and it's, I have to be honest with everybody, as silly as it might sound, it really has made a difference for me. It really has helped with my bad days aren't as bad. My good days are a little stronger and I feel them more. And it's just simple from this. And I actually thank Robin Williams for this. Because I saw him talking about in an interview once about how, Johnny Carson asked him, what's with the crazy shoes? He said, well, they make me smile. Yeah. I was like, and it was as simple as that. I was like, oh, it got me down this rabbit hole.
That's actually something that I've been trying to do a little bit more here, too. It's going to take time because I got to completely, redo my wardrobe, just because also I need to redo my wardrobe so it fits. But I say dress how you feel. And I've been following a lot of people talking about clothing and how it affects our moods and how we view our bodies and how we view ourselves as people in society that wants to dictate how we look and how we dress. Mm. I think it's fantastic that you're doing that, James. Kudos to you. totally on Team James for this.
Do your own sense of style.
Yeah.
Let's go with whatever
Doesn't
you
matter.
Got. Yep.
Back at you, by the way, Mel, and I love your style. You have a great sense of style. I've been actually thinking about stealing it. So with this color psychology and looking into how colors can affect the mood and behavior, not much of the evidence in the field is anecdotal. The field is anecdotal at best, but artists and interior designers have long known how important colors are to your mood.
Okay.
For example, red, yellow, and orange are known as warm colors. They can evoke feelings ranging from warmth to hostility.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas blue, purple, and green are known as the cool colors, and they can make you feel anything from calm to sadness.
Okay.
But according to a color psychologist expert, one color stands above them all, especially when you wear it. She said, quote, green is the psychological primary color that balances the other three, red, yellow, and blue. Too stressed, it will calm you. Down in the dumps, it will lift you up. It's a calming color, and I love wearing it.
Oh.
Now, I added that last part because it's part of her quote, but also as much as I love this article and everything, I think that it's probably noteworthy that she's even telling you that she likes the color.
It's her favorite color, yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know if that plays into this or not, or maybe it's a byproduct of this. Maybe she didn't, you know, like the color green before, but now she does, or she liked it beforehand, and it's just a happy coincidence.
Right. I mean, who knows?
Whatever the case may be.
It's very hard. Let's really say, it's very hard to detach yourself from things when that you like and don't an like when you're doing it. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for anyone to do it. Yeah. So let's keep that in mind.
And there are studies that show seeing the color green in your environment lowers your stress level. Like if you see a green space in a city, it can lower your blood pressure and heart rate.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people don't know. This is why they have the Green Monster in Boston. No, I'm joking.
Hilarious, yes.
Because we all know Bostonites are very calm.
Especially when it comes to the Red Sox.
Bostonians. Yeah. A psychologist and Reiki master agreed and said, green tends to be a soothing, so wearing green can make you feel much more relaxed and less anxious. And if this is true, I would like to talk to New York Jet fans, because I don't believe...
Their color's always been green, and it has not worked.
That doesn't have anything to do
No, you're right.
No, not at all.
Sports world is a total different
whole different
basket.
Monster, right. Whole different
ask
category.
Ask the green lady.
You know,
the lady that wears all green all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But can I interject? Because I've been doing some studying on how animals look at color.
Mm.
Ooh.
So, because I really want to dye the bottom half of my shower curtain a bright yellow... But I'm a little worried because I was doing some research on what colors pigeons are affected by.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And oranges and reds, those bright, vivid colors that you're talking about, they can make them scared. So I'm like, dang it. I don't want to now dye my shower curtain yellow.
Yeah.
If it's going to scare my new pigeon buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm waiting. We'll see how they react to the yellow in my apartment. Because my apartment is really colorful. I love color. I have as much color as I can everywhere.
Nice. I got a theory, if you don't mind, real quick.
Sure.
How about, so we orange, yellow, reds, okay? Those are warm colors. Is that because they're fire colors?
Could be.
Are they associated, because that's the color of fire, right? The different colors of fire are orange, red, and yellow, you know, the different, how hot it is, right? And then for like blue and purple and stuff, I think of water, you know? Yeah. Are we taking this from like our surroundings, like the natural world?
I would think so.
You know, I think it starts there.
Green is, you know, growing things, you know, grass, trees, you know, all the stuff that's alive, you know, that's green. And that's, you know, because, and we associate nature.
Soothing.
Right, exactly. A lot we associate nature with that, you know, that kind of, you know, yeah, resetting. Calm you down, reset, kind of thing like that.
Get out in nature, touch grass.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if that has something to do with it. I wonder if it's just taken from what we see all the time and what we associate with fire. You know, it's warm, but it's also volatile, right? You can't predict what fire is going to do kind of thing.
Color theory is it's deep, and there's so much involved in it. There's actually a gal that I know who does color draping on your person, on your body, to tell you which colors compliment you the best. She did it for me, and I was surprised by the colors that compliment me best, not the ones I would have chosen.
Interesting.
Yeah, her name is Anna. I gotta find her last name quick for you, because I will tell you.
That's fascinating, though, Mel.
That is.
That's really interesting.
Are you more of an autumn? No, I'm just kidding.
I wonder, too, how much of this has to do with your own personal bias or feelings or experiences and
absolutely.
All that. I agree with both of you about the sports thing, you know, being a whole other subject. I do wonder how much that plays into things. My favorite two colors are black and orange. I've always loved those colors as long as I can remember. I have no idea how much that has to do with a lot of the sports teams I grew up loving had orange in their color and stuff. I don't know if the two were connected. One, who came first, the chicken or the egg or some of that.
Of course.
But go ahead, Melissa.
Well, I was just going to say her name is Anna Halfacre. She's Amethyst Rising is the name of her business. And she'll do color drape because she's still like learning the color theory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so she's practicing. I think she said my color palette is cool spring. Maybe.
Okay.
It's like a peach, yellow, a bright green, kind of a grayish brown, salmon, and aqua blue.
Yep.
Like those are not colors I normally would have picked.
And again, it's funny, even what she uses as the, you know, what it's called is based on nature. Mm-hmm. It's based on spring, right? A season kind of thing. What colors you associate with spring, and that's kind of where it goes. So it's a really interesting topic.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating, yeah.
And the fact that the color you wear can make you look thinner, can make you look younger, that's also fascinating. So check out Amethyst Rising.
There you go.
Anna Halfacre.
I want to say she's been on with us.
I think she has. I recognize the name. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And really interesting. Really knows her stuff. Really does. I got to get over there, to be honest. I want to check that out. I also need, this is another reminder, too, to me of one of my real blind spots in life. And my little sister used to rub this in my face all the time. I, for the life of me, am terrible at making colors. You know, you take this color and it makes a color. Man, that may be the worst category in the world for me. I don't know what it is, but my brain cannot put that together.
No color blending for you.
I'm really, really bad at it. Every little kid I've ever known just rubs this in my face. Just like how do you not know that this and this make this?
It doesn't work that way, man.
I just don't. I'm bad at it. Just bad with colors. We'll take a quick time out. We're going to come back and have some fun on the morning show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media.